Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We just invoked Our Lady under the title of Queen of the Clergy. This, for very many years, has been one of my very favorite titles for Our Lady, especially from the very first days that I ever heard the title, and I heard that title in the context of Holy Mass, and I heard that title indeed in the context of the very prayer that we've been using here at St. Mary's now for quite some time. This prayer originated in the early 60s. It was written by an Archbishop of St. Paul, Archbishop Binns, who, as a matter of fact, was one of the members of Paul VI's commission that was implemented to study the question of artificial contraception and so forth. And Archbishop Binns, along with the famous Cardinal Ottaviani, were, I think, two of the only prelates who stood up and said, "No, this can't be approved." They were very faithful to the Church's teaching in that respect. And, of course, they became controversial figures as a result. But this archbishop, the same archbishop, penned this prayer, and it was used in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis for some time, and then it faded out of use, except in one place, a place that became my home parish after my conversion. It was read after the Gospel at every Sunday and Holy Day Mass. And in that time when I knew the pastor, longtime pastor of the place, Monsignor Richard Schuller. He was their pastor for 33 years, and in that time we had 30 first masses, 30 men from the parish ordained to the priesthood, several bishops among them. Among them were bishops. Well, I think today we must, in a special way, invoke Our Lady, Queen of the Clergy, to protect Holy Church and to protect her sons, her bishops, and her priests from the ravages, I think, that are going to sweep over the Church now that we are into another massive and pretty horrifying scandal that is rocking at least the Church that's paying attention, the Church that's awake. I noticed that last night it was the first story really talked about on Brett Baer's show on Fox News. What happened is that a grand jury spent a very long time. They put together a 900-page report on clerical abuse of minors going way, way back to the beginnings of some of these dioceses. And not all of the dioceses of Pennsylvania were examined, but most of them were. And the results are really quite horrifying, as you can imagine. You know, if you want to destroy something, you strike the top, you strike the head. It's like we read in Scripture about how when the shepherd is struck, the sheep scatter. The devil is very good at what he does, and so you strike at the top. You try to twist and bend and mutilate the souls of priests, and especially those who will be bishops and beyond bishops, and twist them, and you can do a tremendous damage to the Church. Now, Our Lady, when she was assumed at the end of her earthly life into heaven, was immediately crowned by our Lord as queen. Wherever she is acknowledged as queen, it is sure that our Lord then will be acknowledged as king. They are inseparable from each other in the plan of salvation. And her influence with her son and her power in heaven and her ability to intercede is rivaled by none. We invoke her as queen. We are doing something very powerful, something puissant, to use an archaic word. You consider how Our Lady stood firm. She stood firm under the cross of her son, taking the full brunt of the horror of the passion. She stood there, and she took it, all of it. And then our Lord entrusted a bishop to her. John was a bishop. Woman, behold your son. Son, John, behold your mother. He entrusted the bishop to Our Lady. This is very soon after the first collective decision of bishops as a body was to abandon the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane at the time of his arrest. Remember, they all ran away. John came back to be at the cross with Mary, but they all ran away. Fully 1/12 of those destined to be bishops, the entire college of bishops, at the time was only 12, but 1/12 of the entire college of bishops showed up, but 1/12 sold the Lord for money because he didn't believe. This pattern is going to be repeated all through the history of the church. We mustn't be surprised or shocked at these things when they happen. Well, shocked, yes. Maybe shocked, horrified, yes. Surprised, perhaps not so much, because we know that the devil hates the church, and the devil hates priests, and the devil hates bishops even more, and the devil hates the Pope even more than that, and will strike constantly to try to bring down great leaders in the church in order to do the most damage possible. If I were the devil, that's exactly what I would do. Always strike to make the maximum damage. So, in addition to thinking about our Blessed Mother as the suffering mother under the cross, standing next to the only bishop that showed up, John, remembering that she is now queen in heaven and a great intercessor, we might also keep in mind the way that our Eastern Catholic brothers and sisters look at Mary. She is not only these things, she is also prayed to as a warrior, as a soldier, a warrior, in one of the marvelous prayers of the East. We hear this mighty conquering warrior, Mother of God, thy servants whom thou hast freed from ills offer up to thee songs of thanksgiving, and with thine unconquerable power deliver us from all affliction, that we may cry unto thee, Hail, Bride unwedded. Surely if we ask Mary for help in these difficult times, for whatever personal difficulties that all these shocks and scandals and so forth might provoke amongst you personally, or maybe in your families or your discussions with family or friends, you imagine the horrible things that are going to be said about the church and the press and by people who are, you know, maybe even nominally Catholic, you know, becoming in their weakness and the weakness of their faith for whatever reason it might have been, the lack of catechesis or the lack of their own resolve or moral problems they might have that make them weaken in their identity and turn upon the church or whatever it might be. I think we're going to be in for a long round of real difficulties as a result of what's coming at us, and it isn't over. It isn't over by a long shot. I think if they're going to do this in one state, well, there are 49 others, and we'll just see what grand juries decide to do now. But it's going to be a real time of testing, a real time of purification, with great challenges for us as individuals and as a body. So let us always invoke Mary as Queen of Heaven, but also as Queen of the Clergy, because that's where the hammer blow is going to strike the hardest. Let us ask for her protection and for help, her help for the rest of this Mass, offering perhaps your good Holy Communion in reparation for the horrific sins that have been committed that would so offend her Immaculate Heart. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.